Hello, everyone. This is Maureen McKay speaking. I'm substituting for Sheila Feidelberg, who is away. And I want to welcome you to our spiritual outreach call. And I'd like to begin by reciting the daily prayer of the order. Lord Jesus, thou hast seen fit to enlist me for thy service in the order of St. John of Jerusalem. I humbly entreat thee through the intercession of the Most Holy Virgin of Palermo, of St. John the Baptist, Blessed Fra Gerard, and all these saints to keep me faithful to the traditions of the order. Be it mine to practice and defend the Catholic, Apostolic, the Roman faith against the enemies of religion. Be it mine to practice charity towards my neighbors, especially the poor and the sick. Give me the strength I need to carry out this my resolve, forgetful of myself, learning ever from the Holy Gospel a spirit of deep and generous Christian devotion, striving ever to promote God's glory, the world's peace, and all that may benefit the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. Today's message is being delivered by Monsignor James Maroney. As many of you know, Monsignor Maroney is the rector of St. John's Seminary in Brighton. Previously, Monsignor Maroney served as rector of St. Paul's Cathedral in Worcester. Monsignor, would you please begin our spiritual talk?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Maureen. It's always a joy to speak to knights and dames of Malta, especially because of your love of the sick and your love of the church. And today I'd like to reflect a little bit on that first charism, on sickness and the church. You know, just a few weeks after he was elected pope, our Holy Father Francis canonized his first saints. Among them was Saint Guadalupe Garcia Zavala. To hear her story, you would have thought she was a dame of Malta. Her whole life was devoted to caring for those who were sick. The Holy Father recalled how, and I quote, Mother Lupita would kneel on the hospital floor before the sick, before the abandoned, in order to serve them with tenderness and compassion. And this is called, he said, touching the flesh of Christ. The poor, the abandoned, the sick, and the marginalized are the flesh of Christ, and Mother Lupita touched the flesh of Christ. Some of you to whom I am speaking know sickness. Christ holds you close to his cross to share in his suffering. But whether you are caring for the sick or you yourself are cared for in a time of weakness and suffering, I'd like to reflect for a few moments on a few simple teachings which come to us from the Lord and form the foundation for the Church's theology of what it means to be sick. The first point is that everyone suffers, but Christians do so in a slightly different way. Suffering and illness have always been among the greatest problems that trouble the human spirit. Christians feel and experience pain as do all other people, yet their faith helps them to grasp more deeply the mystery of suffering and to bear their pain with greater courage. From Christ's words, we know that sickness has meaning and value both for our own salvation and the salvation of the world. Sick Christians know that Christ, who during his life often visited and healed the sick, loves them in their illness. Joined with Christ in his suffering on the cross, the sick person is never really alone. Second, the sick person should fight against illness. Part of the plan laid out by God's providence is that we should fight strenuously against all sickness and carefully seek the blessings of good health so that we may fulfill our role in society and in the church. In other words, while sickness can have meaning, God does not expect us to just roll over and die. Sickness keeps me from going to church, from feeding the poor, from working in the soup kitchen or the food pantry, from preaching the gospel, and from visiting other people who are sick. Sickness is not something to be enjoyed, but to struggle against. Like the prisoner locked in a dungeon, the sick person seeks to break the chains of the illness that confines him and keeps him from getting on with his life. Third, the church teaches that the church, the whole church, should fight against illness. The sick person is not alone in this struggle. doctors and all those who are devoted in any way to caring for the sick should consider it their duty to use all the means which in their judgment may help the sick, both physically and spiritually. And in doing so, they're fulfilling the command of Christ to visit the sick. For Christ told us that those who visit the sick should be concerned for the whole person and offer both physical relief and spiritual comfort. The fight against illness is a holy struggle, which sanctifies those who undertake the noble work in extraordinary and unexpected ways. You've seen that time and again. Luke was not the last healthcare worker to become a saint. Next, sickness is a sharing in the passion of Christ. Sometimes indeed for each one of us, the struggle for sickness is in vain. Sometimes the cancer will not remit. The heart will not get stronger. The disease cannot be cured. On one day, each one of us, even we knights and dames of Malta, will find that we are sicker and weaker, and someday we will die. So what do we say on that day? We've lost the battle? Far from it. For as the preface for the martyrs tells us, God chooses the weak and makes them strong in Christ. As St. Francis reminds us, it is in our weakness that we are strong, in our littleness that we are great, in our powerlessness that we, like the little Christ child in the manger, no true power. Christ himself, who is without sin and fulfilling the words of Isaiah, took on all the wounds of his passion and shared in all human pain. Christ is still pained and tormented in his members who are made like him. We should always be prepared to fill up in our own lives what is lacking in Christ's sufferings for the salvation of the world. My next to last point is one that's very important and that people don't understand. We need the sick, which is precisely why the sick have such an indispensable role in the church. The sick woman reminds me what is truly important and truly lasting. Faith, hope, and love are the only things that last. That's hard to convince me of when I'm lecturing over the telephone. See, I'm in control now. Or when I'm going to visit the sick, I'm in control. Or when I'm going to the bank, I'm in control. But I know full well that this voice you've been listening to will grow weak in not so many years, and this mind will grow dim. These hands will begin to shake, and someday this heart will cease to beat. In the end, this body will stop working entirely, and I, who spend most of my waking moments in denial, need to be with sick people to remind me of the essential or higher things. By their witness, the sick person shows me that my mortal life must be redeemed through the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection. Faith, hope, and love. It's all that really matters. It's all that really lasts. There's not a single member of the church who does not have a role to play in this great drama. Not just as a support to family and friends, but like Jesus as a friend of the sick, as one who seeks them out in hospitals and nursing homes, as one who does not flee from his own fears and doubts, but through the smells and the sights and the fears, goes to the sick man and makes him strong, knowing that Christ will judge him on it on the last day. I was sick, and you did not visit me. Be consigned to the everlasting fire. Rather strong words. and a rather clear teaching about our responsibility to fight at the side of the sick man in his mortal struggle. And my last point is on the role of the sick in the church. The fathers of the Second Vatican Council were clear about the foundational concern of the liturgical reform. You've heard it before. The full, conscious, and active participation of all the faithful in the sacred liturgy. We need to find ways to help every Christian to fully, consciously, and actively participate in prayer for and care of the sick. It is their right and their duty by reason of their baptism. But we must also help everyone, starting with ourselves as Knights and Dames of Malta, to appreciate the role which God has given the sick to play in the world. Remember Pope John Paul II in the last years of his life. Did he ever, this great world communicator, this great inventor of the new evangelization, did he ever preach more effectively than when he sat in that chair, stooped and broken, his hands shaking with sometimes slurred words? The Holy Father at that moment gave the greatest gift that anyone could imagine. He was teaching me how to join my sufferings to the cross of Christ. He was teaching me what it's like to stand at the foot of the cross, like the great Mother of God, Mary, Mother of Sorrows. He was teaching me that sickness, a natural part of human life, is just around the corner. And it's my job, as a follower of Christ, as a knight or dame of Malta right now, to get ready. That's what the Church teaches about sickness and the human person. God bless you. Be assured of my prayers for you. And I thank you for your attention.